Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Good to see you. Good to be with you. Good to be in your cars, in your workshops, in your homes for what will go down as the weirdest 4th of July in the world that we've all collectively had together. I hope you're safe. We've got a good show for you today. I'm sitting here with Zuckerman. I've got an interview with Frank Grillo.
I love that guy.
Terrific guy. You may have seen him in the Netflix movie The Wheelman.
He's the real Wheelman.
I know him from Billions, where he plays Nico Tanner, the troubled, self-introspective painter that goes toe-to-toe with Axelrod. But he's got this show, Kingdom, that you may or may not know, with a really interesting story that's going to be on Netflix. So in a minute, we'll do that interview. Also want to remind you guys, we're running out of time. If you want to buy the 87-911 commemorative A Meth Head Stole Our Shirt, go to blipshift.com/spike and get that shirt. I think there's only about 7 days left. I think this show is airing, Wednesday. We'll have Johnny Lieberman next week. And then I think it's a day after that. So go there. Buy this for your kids. I think it's the perfect shirt for your kids.
They'll always ask you what he's smoking. And the question is, who's the real Wheelman? The meth man?
Oh, yeah, look
Frank
at that.
Grillo?
Frank Grillo.
Frank Grillo plays a Wheelman, but the meth man was a real Wheelman.
You got to, you know, and I did this over Zoom one-on-one, Zuckerman, and we'll talk about it in a minute, but you got to listen to it. This guy's our age. You're not going to believe how he looks, his body fat, the rest of it. It's insane. This morning, though, Zuckerman, I woke up and Carl Reiner died.
Oh, no.
He's dead. This guy was
a luminary.
You know, I don't usually talk about celebrity deaths, but this guy really had a special place in my heart. He was 98 years old, and he's like, you know, he's the comedy writer's comedy writer. He did the Dick Van Dyke Show in the 60s, the story of a TV writer at home and at work. And it was my dad's show. But it's, you know, when you're watching TV as a kid, you're always watching what your dad watches. And I really got hooked on this show. And that's one of the reasons I love Dick Van Dyke. And he has a special place in my heart. But Carl, you know, George Shapiro represented him, who represents Jerry. And, you know, back when I was doing my late night show, George called up I think it was in the second year of the show. And we were always a struggling late night show because Fox gave us no fucking help. I'm not afraid to say that now. They never promoted us. We didn't exist, but it was kind of nice to be up in a little corner of Saturday night without anybody paying attention to us. We had a decent audience of a few million people, thanks to Mad TV. And, you know, we would have fun. But a lot of people don't even know about this show because Fox never ran an ad, a billboard, a post, just nothing. They just deserted us. Well, we had a great time. We were on the air for 3 years. Anyways, George calls up one day and he's like, Carl Reiner wants to come on the show. And I'm like, God damn.
Of course. Wow.
You know, he's got a new book. And I'm like, he's still writing? So at this point, he's got to be in his late 80s, early 90s. I'm like, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I know he's not The audience, maybe, that's watching Fox on Saturday nights, which is generally people who are high doing bong hits. But bring him on. And, you know, I called my dad. And you didn't know Fats, but Fats was a big fan of comedy. And I said, you're not going to believe who's coming on the show. And it blew his mind that Carl Reiner was coming on his son's show. It was a really big thing for him. And then it became a big thing for me. And I remember when he came out, I didn't get a chance to chat with him before the show. But when he came out and he sat down, we had just run this remote piece that I really loved doing on the show, which was called My Childhood Home. And I used to go out into the street with a camera and a microphone and just try to come up with bits in the neighborhood. And the bit we came up with the writers was every house, every door we would knock on, we would say, this is my childhood home. Could I come in with my documentary crew? Everybody would let us in, and I would just start improvising memories. And they would always start nice. Oh my God, this is just like the kitchen table we had breakfast in.
I can see where this is going. This is the room I was raped in.
Well, we didn't say that word. We wouldn't make rape jokes, which are inappropriate. But we would say, I remember, you know, being in this woman's dark kitchen, and there's like just a bunch of guys, audio guy and PAs, and I'm making up, oh my God, it looks like the same refrigerator that mom would get the milk and make the cream of wheat. Remember cream of wheat? And she's like, yeah. And he goes, you know, and that little pantry there, that's where we locked, what's her name? Who's the woman that was kidnapped in the 60s?
Patty Hearst.
Patty Hearst, right? One of the writers is like, say that's where Patty Hearst was kidnapped. And the woman's starting to look, you know, and now she's kind of quiet. Because she catches that joke. And then I'd go into the bathroom and go, that's the bathtub mom used to cry in after dad would come home drunk and beat her. And then we'd get kicked out of the house. It was always a really fun, I really loved doing the bit.
It was always really fun.
I enjoyed watching the faces change as the memories got more and more horrible. And then we would say, oh, no, sorry, we're a comedy show anyway. Carl Reiner comes out after that bit. And sits down, he just says hi to me, but just looks out to the audience. He goes, how funny is that? Who knew that this funny show is going on? And it just, this love letter, this minute of how much he loves me, the comedy in the show, the jokes in the remote. And, and then my dad sees the show and he calls. It's just a moment for me with my dad personally. And then for this guy who is, you know, he's just the guy you look up to. It's a guy who's working up until he's 98 years old. He's writing comedy, right? He's just, I don't know if you have a lawyer in your life like that, Zuckerman, but this was the king of comedy writers.
Oh, sir, I have a big question here. What's a bigger moment in your life? Carl Reiner on the show, having lunch with Louise Fine, Larry Fine's sister, or going to a strip bar with Dan Rather?
Wow, those are all very big comedy moments. But today it would be Carl Reiner. And he came on the show a couple times. And I just always, he was just a kind man. A kind man, Zuckerman. And, you know, he used to hang every night. And Jerry told us about it. And, you know, he'd hang out and watch movies with Mel Brooks every night and eat Slippery Cow ice cream or whatever that stuff is. And I would always try to get in on that. And they said, you're too young. You can't come
by. Really, this is their leftovers, their epilogues of the 20th century. Yeah.
But imagine working till 98.
I understand, but he really set the tone. For the last portion of the 20th century, he did much more television than the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Family. You go to his IMDb page and be flipping. You go back to Sid Caesar. You go back past Smothers Brothers. You just keep going. Perry Como. You just keep going.
Mr. Television.
Yeah. Yeah.
He
what
really,
a guy.
Really, really was setting. He had a lot to say and people wanted to hear it.
Yeah. And a sweetheart and kind. And we're going to miss him. And condolences to everybody. And anyway. Yeah, that's how my day started. And, I'm not usually affected by that because I didn't know him really personally as a friend. But I was taken aback by how it affected me this morning. But anyways, it's just a fucking shit year, right? 2020, Zuckerman. trying to turn it around.
Diarrhea.
Then,
year of diarrhea.
I got in our 87 911 to come down here and had the scratchy Creedence Clearwater Revival tape cassette jamming. And I'm starting to get happy again. And this, again, I'm realizing the value of these cars and these drives. But 2020 reared its ugly head, Zuckerman.
What happened?
Because just as I'm starting to relax and cruise down the road and the sunroof is open and the sun is shining and the 405 is sparse, a Christmas tree holder falls off the back of what I'm going to, I suspect, is a junk dealer's pickup truck. Light blue in color with the little wingy screws that hold in place. And I watch it slowly trickle off the back of the pickup truck and go into the lane to my left, in which a Ford Explorer driven by a young lady hits it and flings it into the air directly at us in our car, Zuckerman. And I have to jolt to the right as this mortar shell just misses the rear driver's side panel. Because the thing looked like paper at first. I didn't know what it was. And if you imagine the truck, it bounces like this. The rear tire hits
kind
and it goes.
Kind of in slow motion coming
slow
at you.
Slow motion kickball in the air coming down. It goes boom. And I'm like, oh, that's funny. That's coming towards me. Quick jerk. Coffee all over my hands. Car is fine. But it's just a reminder, Zuckerman.
Be all that close.
Be careful in 2020. Be careful today. Be careful over these holidays. Wear your goddamn masks. If you're going to come to this Cars and Coffee with us on Sundays at Bill's, 8 to 10 a.m., it's fun. And I notice people are wearing their masks, and they're keeping a respectful distance. But take care of yourselves, because 2020 is not over, and it's lurking.
2020 has been kind of far. I'll tell you one other thing. This is the year of me getting moving violations.
I've got
three separate tickets pending right now, and I attribute this to me making fun of you. And so
wait, what are the cars and what are the infractions?
Well, I had one in late 19 when I had just gotten the 2020 911, the new Aventurine green car.
Yes.
On my second drive, I turned onto Santa Monica Boulevard, and a repugnant cop pulled me over and gave me a gratuitous ticket for not using my blinker.
Adjectives.
And he also gave me a ticket for, he was mad. He said, why don't you have your permanent plate on this car? I said, I haven't got it yet. He said, you've had the car for 2 weeks. You should have it. I said, well, guess what? I don't, because I'd put it on if I did. And then he said to me, where's your proof of insurance? And I showed him an insurance card. He said, that's not for this car. And I said, yes, but I have 30 days to add a car to my insurance.
I thought you were going to say I had 30 cars, which would just be the end of you right
there.
Yes,
but no, he gave me a ticket for no blinker and for no insurance. And I said, do you know what gratuitous means? And he said, I do. I said, well, this is a perfect example of what a gratuitous ticket is. And and then he went and he took his little dumpy body and went away. And then at the beginning of COVID, in the red 964, I got a ticket northbound on La Brea. The motorcycle cop was hiding at one of those nice motels there, one of those crack motels on Lower La Brea. And he gave me a ticket. He was a very nice cop. And then when I left here after our last...
And I was telling you how rip-roaring fun the Zagato was.
I got in the Zagato. I left here. I went down Olympic. And
and you were ripping.
And I was ripping. And I was in a bad mood, and I needed to blow off some steam.
I know that road.
And I sliced through traffic. I had to go through from the number three lane. Yeah. I crossed diagonally to the number one lane. And then I was through traffic ahead of the pack, Ferriston. And as I broke free of the pack, a motorcycle cop pulls me over. And he was wearing fucking braces, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. Ferriston.
On his legs or on his teeth?
On his teeth. And they were like mossy 10th grade braces. And I'm thinking, if you got a badge and a gun, a shotgun on your motorcycle, you can't wear fucking braces. Keep your janky teeth.
He's fixing them.
No, Ferriston. What kind of position of authority when you have mossy braces on your teeth and you're giving me a ticket?
He's just a human being like everyone else.
Except he's giving me a ticket. So he's not a human being.
Well, you are going really fast.
So he said to me, what is this?
And I had just told you the world's reaction to this car.
He doesn't know
it's
what it is,
top.
But then he said, you know how fast you were going? And I said, I don't know, about 37. and he said, you're going 91. I said, that's impossible.
Did he laugh when you said that?
I said, that's impossible. He did kind of laugh because I said to him, I said, there's no way this car, look at this thing. It's a skateboard. It has a 1600.
It's got a lawnmower engine.
It's got a lawnmower engine. 1.6 liter, 1600.
How could it go 90?
I said, how could it possibly be going 91? And then he wanted to show me with his smiling racist teeth and his laser gun. He wanted to show me, and I had to really bite my tongue and not tell him, you look fucking ridiculous. I wanted to say, you look like a fucking clown with those teeth and your gun and the whole package. But he wrote me a much...
This is a speech about white privilege it's turning into. I never knew what it was until
just
said it.
That I can get away with this and not be shot, right? I completely understand that I exercise white privilege with my interactions with law enforcement.
Yes.
I have no fear about getting shot. I've actually told them to just go ahead and shoot me, and
they
won't
do that.
I do
put my hands on a steering wheel when I get pulled over.
Oh,
I just want to be careful.
Yeah. So anyway, but then he wanted to know all about the car. He thought it was a Ferrari. He didn't understand. I had to really go slow. He was kind of breathing through his mouth with his braces, and I had to tell him very slowly. he didn't understand Zagato, and I said...
He wanted to know what it was.
He wanted to know what it was. I explained it. I went slow. I broke it down. Used little words. Bite-sized pieces. This gets to my point, by the way, Ferrison. Do you know what a Chiron is? I think you do.
A what?
A Chiron.
A Chiron?
Yes, yeah. A Chiron.
A lower third.
And
like
so we,
words.
Okay, so we are going to make... $1 billion. I have an idea. We're going to get Chirons for people.
Chirons.
Yeah,
right.
Chirons. Chirons.
Idea.
We're going to install these Chirons. So you know what a Chiron is? It's the
lower third at CNN, the banner, the ticker that's sending a secondary message.
It's sending a secondary message, basically the headline explaining what the person is saying.
That would be
and
good.
And most people can't communicate. I don't know what the fuck they're saying. What they mean, they don't know what they're saying, and they don't know what they mean. And if they had a Chiron,
I don't know what you're saying right now.
Yeah, if they had a Chiron installed in their chest, that would give written indication of what they're really
talking
about.
Look at him, he's rubbing his chest right now. I don't even know what we're talking about
Chirons.
At this point.
Anyway,
you got a ticket.
So I get to so he didn't really understand. I should have had like a little sheet to hand.
Well, it's a hard car to understand.
It is.
The Zagato?
Yeah. So he couldn't get his head around, is it new or is it old?
Exactly.
And I said, it's both. Yes. I said, it's both. I said, take it as it's old but new and new but
I
old.
I just tell people in that situation, because I answered a lot of questions about that car, 1959. That's it.
61.
I know it's built on a 61, but it's a design from 59. And I have found, for the person who's not really the consummate car guy, to just go... one of nine, 1959, Porsche Zagato built. And that I can get out of the conversation pretty quick after that.
It reminds me, here's another digression. When my son was young, we were taking care of his friend's snake. The snake ate something called Pinkies. Do you know what Pinkies are?
No.
Pinkies are unborn mice that you keep in a bag in the freezer, right?
Yes.
And they're harvested out of the mama mouse's stomach before they're born. And when I tried to explain to my son what a pinky was, he had the same look of confusion. How can it be in the bag in the freezer if it wasn't born? That the cop had with me explaining what the Zagato Porsche was all about.
Unbelievable. Well, you know, at the Cars and Coffee, I met a police officer who's a fan of ours, who loves our show. It's the Criminal Stolen Car Division. They're huge fans of the podcast.
They
love us, but they need to spread the word to some of the other officers that
not to give us tickets. I love that guy in Beverly Hills. He's the
Beverly
best.
Hills
Ryan.
Cop is a good guy.
Beverly Hills Cop is the
look.
Best.
These guys they've got a tough job dealing with guys like you and your Zagatos
and my anger issues and my authority issues.
Yeah,
I had something called oppositional defiance disorder. ODD, odd. Do you know about this diagnosis, Ferrison?
No.
Nah?
Go ahead.
I just told you. You're not paying attention, though.
I'm
you're looking at your phone.
I'm trying to pull up the specs on this. You know, I printed up a review of this FTR 1200 Indian, and then what did I do, Zuckerman?
What does FTR stand for? Fuck the...
Flat Track Racer. And What did I do? I left it. That's the way today's going. I
you
left
got mashed
it in the
potatoes
printer.
For
I
brains.
Got all the way down here after the tree holder got flung at the car, and then realized I didn't have any of my notes from today.
I am so sorry, Ferguson. And here,
but
I
got to talk about this bike, and I'm going to have to Google through screens on my phone. So bear with me.
Let me take a break.
What? What do you want? What?
Let's just take a break for a second while you pull it up.
No. Let's just go.
Oh,
because
sorry. Okay.
They're coming to pick up the Targa. That's going to Steve Alicon at Johnson Alignment. The 87 has got to get the air conditioning wrapped up again. We've got stuff to do. You got to go back to work. I got to go back to work.
And so I'm looking right now at my Monte Carlo RS. You can look at your phone, and I will talk about
the
Monte Carlo RS number 526. You ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that car's great. Marco at TLG did a great job on the car. I'm looking at the sport exhaust, and
he addressed my notes. And you gave it to me for a day, and I put together a list of what
fettled.
I think was wrong with this car.
And you sorted.
And most importantly, the driver's seat and the exhaust.
And now I'm looking at it, and it's a shame, but it's sold. And I'm not going to drive it in its current perfect form.
No. It's going to Switzerland to someone there, and it's perfection now. It's really an amazing car.
I hope this guy loves this car, because I love this car, and it is fantastic.
Yeah, it is
a
shame
one of the
we
best
didn't get
911
a
RSs
to drive it around here. Anyway, let's talk about the Indian FTR 1200S race replica livery is what I have. This bike retails for $17,000. Again, let me a word of caution. I am not a motorcycle reviewer. I'm a guy who rides a 66 Triumph Bonneville. They're dropping off motorcycles. I like this now because they take a new bike fresh from the factory, right off the truck, right off the train. They bring it to your garage, and you're like the first guy to drive it. This car was broken in, though. They said they had to break it in a few hundred miles because it's a little bit of a beast, and they are right. It's got a 60-degree V-twin, 1,200 cc's, makes 120 horsepower, 0 to 60 is in the 3.4 range, right? What car is in 3.4? It's very fast.
That's turbo, Porsche turbo. That's
oh yeah,
yeah. It's
it feels a lot different. Weight is a little over 500 pounds, which I'm hearing is heavy. Oh, here are the specs that I had printed up. Let's see if I can anything else before I can talk about what it's like to drive it. Front wheel 19-inch. Rear wheel 18-inch. How can that be? The front wheel's bigger? I guess so. Fuel capacity. Anyway, I'm just going to talk off the top of my head about this bike. First of all, Zuckerman.
Yes,
sir. I drove this bike to the Cars and Coffee on Sunday, right? And I usually take one motorcycle ride a summer to Bill's on the most dangerous roads in America. Sunset down to PCH and then PCH to Bill's, right? That's pretty much the top of the most dangerous motorcycle riding in America. And, you know, I had the Royal Enfield last week and the 66 Triumph, which is a tootler. And now I'm on this uprighty motorcycle, 1,200 cc's, that is designed after a flat track racer, Sonny Nutter. Sound familiar, right?
Right.
And it's modeled after this bike they've had success with, the FTR 750, which I guess they were racing currently, 2016. They live in the driveway. I get on this bike. First thing you notice, the upright stance of this bike. You're kind of sitting upright, a little mailman stance is what I call it. And the guy says, you know, there are a couple modes with it. Don't put it into sport mode just yet. Get used to the bike because it's a... And he starts talking about wheelies, and you're going to do wheelies, but don't worry, it's got wheelie control, and it's got traction control, it's got ABS, it's got all the electronic gizmos.
Wheelie control?
Exactly what I say. What is wheelie control?
Does two little training wheels come out the back?
And I say, my boys are with me by my side, and they're like laughing, going, cool! And I'm like, he goes, look, if you're in sport mode, and you get on it, it's going to go up, but just know when you get to here... I've got my hand now pointing straight up towards the ceiling. There's an electronic limiter, computer chippy gizmo that's going to send you back down slowly.
So you can get horizontal. You can get vertical, rather.
Yes.
You can get straight vertical.
Pretty
you
much.
Can be it's, at 90 degrees.
It's about 11 o'clock. His hand was like at 11 o'clock. And if you've seen this bike, you can Google it and have a look at it. You're just like, you know, if you're me, you're like, God damn, I don't want to be up that high. But I kind of do. There's this guy on Instagram, Salasuko. I don't know if I've ever sent him to you. This is just these guys ride these big, heavy Harleys,
right.
And they ride
Tall
them on
boy
one
T
wheel.
Is another guy. And
these guys are great.
Unbelievable. Just go for miles, shooting sparks off of their rear fenders.
Anyway, I was kind of comforted. I haven't tried this yet. Here, now I want to know what this guy's name is. Oh, it's going to make me crazy, and I won't see his stuff. Anyway, somebody will send it to me. Anyway, they say, okay, couple things with the bike, and they are true. One, it's cold-blooded. Let the bike warm up, which takes about a minute. Otherwise, it's a little jumpy. So you start it up. By the time you get your helmet on, your gloves on, your glasses, the rest of it, you're ready to go. You let out the clutch in the normal mode, Zuckerman, the thing just jumps.
Really?
It just jumps. I've yet to have it in sport mode. But then you kind of get used to it. The rear seat for the passenger is one of those, you know, race bike rear seats where you're sitting.
They just slip right off?
They don't, but you're holding on right beneath your butt to two grips. My kids were, like, holding on around my belly, which is also embarrassing. I don't like that. But, you know, it's not a bike for – here's my assessment of it, okay? Very small gas tank, 3.5 gallons, I think. Sorry if I'm wrong about that. So it doesn't give you a long range. It's a touring bike as long as you're not doing long tours. Overall, the bike is really fun. But Zuckerman, you know, here's my conflict with it. And it's nothing to say. I have nothing really negative to say about this bike. Well, a couple things, but they're teeny. It's like a GT3. In car analogy, you get on this bike and you realize it's you have going. Something special. You have something, it feels light, even though it's not that light, and it is fast, and it jumps, right? So you don't really, you can cruise it, but it's happier in the highest RPM range. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's just, and I love that too much. I love it too much. And this bike wants me to take it out into the canyons and go to town on it. And I don't trust my skill set just yet.
Mm.
So I'm a couple weeks into this. I guess I have the bike still for a little while.
It's appealing
to my... It's appealing to a part of me that has been dormant for a while. That has been dormant.
Your immature teenage brain.
Yes.
So you're still not mature enough to drive this motorcycle.
I used to drive my ZX600R like a maniac, you know, four seasons out of the year through snow, racing it around turns, crashing on people's front lawns by missing turns, having fun. This bike can really do it all. But at 55, I'm not so sure. But I love it. So today, this week, Zuckerman, I'm gonna get it into the sport mode and do some wheelies with it in a controlled area, because it's capable. The bike is so far, you know, with everything, your traction control and ABS, it does it helps you. I'm just not sure how far I can turn the damn thing. How low I can get it in a turn. Like, it's been so long since I've dropped a bike down in a turn, and I don't have any reference point for tires and stick. You know
and
what I'm saying?
And you have a brain-body disconnect right now because you are older. So the brain knows what your body's supposed to do, but the body will not comply with instructions, and your little potato chip body will fling off. Broken.
No, it won't fling off. I'll go down and slide, and then I'll
just
hit
be
the curb.
Raspberry jam.
But I love, you know, I love motorcycles, and now, you know, I started this because the quarantine was on and there wasn't a lot of traffic, but the traffic's coming back. But I will tell you, Zuckerman, I love motorcycles, and I'm going to tell you, I love this bike. This bike is great. I took it to the car show. You know, you're only getting to experience the exterior styling of it, but everybody loves it. It's a great-looking livery for this bike. There are three different liveries, but Race Replica is the coolest. I don't know what else to say. For $17,000, what an incredible little machine. Really cool bike. Thank you to Indian for giving this to me. I'm enjoying it, and I'm going to keep enjoying it till they take it back. And then I think Moto Guzzi's coming.
Ooh.
And then I heard the Ferrari F8 Tributo Spider is coming.
That's a big pull, Ferrison.
It's going to be good. And then I've got, I believe, Porsche Cayenne Coupe GTS.
Really?
So some good stuff coming, Zuck. Some good stuff coming. anything else you want to say before I bring in my interview with Frank?
Well, Ferrison, I've got nothing other than Chirons.
Well, listen to this, because you're going to like this interview. Frank Grillo, it's funny, because I was watching Billions going, who is this guy that's getting in every episode? He's got such presence. He's going toe-to-toe with Axelrod. But obviously the showrunners of this show like him, and you can tell he's a star. And he's an older guy, yet, you know, and I'm not I don't feel insecure about saying this. What a great-looking guy. He's
tough
the guy we all wanted to
be,
right?
Yeah, we
want
to be a tough guy.
Turns out this guy is our age, Zuckerman.
He looks great.
He's 5% body fat. He lives in Venice. He loves the Porsche 911. He's got a Hellcat convertible. He's a professional.
There is such a thing as a Hellcat convertible?
You're going to hear the story in a second. He's got this other show about MMA fighting, this little show that could on a network called the Audience Channel that went down kind of like Esquire and Car Matchmaker.
But he was going all over the world, and he was meeting MMA fighters, and he was kind of training with them and sparring with them and watching them fight. What a terrific
And the show has an amazing
show.
Story. They've now they've pulled all three seasons from this this audience, whatever it is, DirecTV. They don't make new content over there. And now they've got a shot on Netflix. The show is there right now, all three seasons. I was telling him, you know, I just ran out of stuff to watch, and I watched the pilot of the first episode, and I went, thank God. I love this cast. This guy's fitness tips are unparalleled for guys our age. He's 5% body fat, Zuckerman. 5% at 55 years old, I think he is.
Impressive.
Or 54. Anyway, I really loved him. I love the show. Listen to the interview. Again, I apologize if the audio's bad. It's Zoom. There's nothing I can do about that right now. But
the
here
wheel man.
Is Frank Grillo.
The Wheelman.
Well, thank you for coming on. I'm excited about this. And I'll tell you, it's funny. I watch Billions. And I'm currently in season 4, I believe it is.
Right.
And, you know, episode after episode after episode, I see this guy, you. And I'm going, who is this guy? Why is he so important to this series all of a sudden?
That's hysterical.
But I'm sitting there going, you know, the guy's obviously a star, and I can tell the showrunners know this guy is a talented star, and you can't take your eyes off him when he's on the screen. where did he come from?
Okay. Yeah, you know, they called me. It's funny. They called me, and they were like, hey, man, we want you on the show. And I'm like, I've never seen the show. I said, I'm kind of like an action guy. And,
right.
And I've got my own little niche, and how do I fit into Billions, you know? And they went, no, we want you to be this artist. And I'm like, well, it's okay. I mean, you sure you want me? I'm like, you know, do I kill anybody? I mean, but, you know, it turned out, it's so funny because this business is so weird. You know, it's a small little arc. I think I did 8 episodes, and the guy comes in for a few minutes in each episode. And I guess he's kind of integral to the story, but you know, people are so like, hey, man, I love you on Billions. I'm like, really? I'm like,
because you go toe-to-toe with Bobby Axelrod.
I guess.
Played by Damian Lewis.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. But here, I was just going to finish. I love the character Nico Tanner, but that wasn't it. I was just like, there's something special about this actor. And you know, we're all watching a lot of content now, and then I'm off to the next show. So now, cut forward to now, your PR person goes, hey, do you want to have Frank Grillo on the show? And I'm like, Frank Grillo? Well, wait a minute. Why do I recognize that name? And I'm like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Is he promoting Billions? And they say, no, he has a show called Kingdom. Now, Kingdom, I'm in a moment where I've seen everything that's been produced.
Right.
We've been in quarantine since March. I've seen every show. And they say there's this show with an interesting history we're going to get into, and it's about MMA fighting, and it stars Frank Grillo. And I go, so he's not promoting Bellies? He goes, no, he's promoting this.
Yeah, it's not my show.
And it's, right, but you really stand out on that show. Anyway, I just watched the pilot. Now, it turns out there are three seasons of this show already made.
It's really four. Second DirecTV, because of contractual things, they made 20 episodes for season two as opposed to 10 for the regular seasons.
Right.
It's really 40 episodes. So it's really four seasons in a package that says three seasons.
I see. Okay. And, I'm so happy to have something new to watch. Like, the show is fantastic, but it's been around since season one was 2014, correct?
Yeah. It's so funny because, my partner's Joe Carnahan, who's written right. The Gray. Him and I did The Gray together with Liam Neeson and Smoking Aces and Narc. And we did a movie for Netflix called Wheelman, which was a big success. And then we did another movie, me and Anthony Mackie, which called Point Blank. And then I have a docuseries called Fight World on Netflix. So we have a great relationship with Netflix. Mm-hmm. And my agent during this coronavirus, Charlie Jennings at CAA, who's a brilliant dude, James Gunn, who directed, I did the Captain America movies, right? So I'm in that mm-hmm. Marvel world. James yep. Gunn, who directed, this is how it works. James Gunn directed Guardians of the Galaxy. And he tweeted about a month ago, the greatest show that no one has seen is Kingsman. Right? It goes viral. My agent calls Netflix, they know I have a relationship. Within 2 weeks, they bought the series and they're putting it out on Wednesday, globally on Netflix.
Okay, well, that's today. That's July 1st today, and they're going to be loading up seasons 1 through 3, and it's really fantastic. It's an MMA driven drama series. You play Alvi. I can't pronounce your last name.
Alvi Kalina, who's the right. patriarch of the whole thing, an ex MMA fighter, and the backdrop of the show is this gym, and my sons Nick Jonas and Jonathan Tucker are both MMA fighters.
And you've retired, and you're trying to keep your struggling gym open. That's where we begin this series.
But it's a family drama, and
right.
You learn something very interesting about one of my sons early on, which is a big secret. And I'm holding on by a very thin thread. I actually come out of retirement at one point at the end of the season. Yep. And I fight Matt Hughes, the great man, the six-time world champion. But the show was a critical darling when it came out. But DirecTV and Endemol, they had no platform. So nobody right. could see it. But when I tell you this show was a critical success, and we would always say, man, if it was only on Netflix. And so now, 4 years later...
Dream.
Because of my agent, Charlie Jennings, the show's going
to
be on
Charlie,
that.
I'm going to have to – I have CA agents over there. I'm going to add Charlie Jennings to my roster. I am. And, I'm in a similar boat. I was on – I have three seasons of Car Matchmaker that was on the Esquire Network. And Esquire Network went off the air. And NBC Universal kind of holds this show hostage. And we've always wanted – I need to talk to Charlie. Charlie's the guy.
Charlie's a genius, man. Charlie's a genius. I mean, you know what? And it all happened because of this, people are bored.
Yes.
Everyone has seen everything on every streamer.
Yes.
And it's a different business.
You're selling yourself short because the show really is great. And I was reading about your, this came about so quickly. I've been spending my morning kind of catching up on you and the showrunner, Byron. But I love the story that he was just a fan of Ultimate Fighting from the very beginning. And he was watching Faces of Death, he said, because he was trying to understand these people that would fight each other to the death and beat the pulp out of each other, which really predates, MMA fighting, right?
Absolutely.
And then he pitched the story. Everybody thought perhaps it's probably a little too lowbrow, but he didn't give up. He decided to write the script on his own, took it out. And now here you are three, four seasons later, right? Heading to Netflix.
And I'll tell you.
Inspiring story.
in this crazy environment that we live in, brother, if the show does well on Netflix, if people find it and they like it, and they're out, you know, the Netflix algorithms.
Yeah, yeah.
If it shows that people are interested, we all spoke amongst ourselves, and it's like, we'll do another season or two.
Yeah.
You know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. I watched a group Zoom you did with the cast. And,
right.
You know, it was the last thing I watched before we connected today. And I loved everybody. I loved the whole attitude of this little show that could.
Yeah.
And then it delivers on the acting. It delivers on the production values. And it delivers on the world.
Yep.
Like, you know, I know what I'm going to be doing for the next 7 days, which is eating all seasons 1 through 3 of this thing.
Reach out to me and let me know if you dig it. Like, let me know if you...
I already know. I've already watched so much of it. And here's why. I mean, yeah, it's a great, likable cast, but I'm fascinated by a couple of things. One, you're a guy who's over 50.
Oh yeah.
And you're like 5% body fat training every day. Like it blows my mind that you and I are around the same age. And now I understand why I'm behind the camera so much and you're in front of it. How have you been training during this quarantine thing? How does that work?
I have in my house here, I have a 3-car garage that's been converted into a full gym. I have, you know, all the boxing accoutrement that I need. I box every day, I do jiu-jitsu. I have full Olympic weights. My buddy who owns 2 gyms here in Santa Monica sent me over basically all of his stuff because he closed his gyms. And I have a couple of trainers that come through that I take their temperatures every day. My son, my 23-year-old trains with me. So I'm training twice a day now. You know, all these movies that I do from the
right.
Good Captain, they're all very physical. So it's my job to kind of stay in shape. And so I've been training 2 or 3 times a day during this pandemic.
And wow.
Yeah, it's kind of...
You're the only one.
I know.
Everybody else, the rest of us are going, we'll get back into the shape when this thing is over. But you're right.
Yeah.
I want... you're my spirit animal now. I want to be like you because it's a unique opportunity to really get yourself under control, yet with 3 times the amount of stress.
And I'll tell you, it's also created this, I have 3 sons, and it's created this amazing, I'm single now, I'm almost divorced. And so I live by myself here in Venice, and I have my kids alone 3 days a week. And those 3 days are a full 24 hours a day
with yes.
my sons. And it's created such an amazing bond. And I don't want to sound like a cliche, but who cares if I do? It's with my kids. And so between the training and all the time I get to spend with my boys, I'm like, I don't really know if I want to go back to work.
No, I know. I hear you on that. Yeah. There have been some amazing moments and certainly some positive spots. You know, I'm doing the same thing with my guys. And, you know, what's that?
Yeah, boys?
I have 2, 12 and 10, though. So... It's biking, video games. You know, we work out. They were surfing this morning. It's wonderful. And then at night, we're electric vehicles like bikes and scooters through the neighborhood. And you do, you think about it. You're right. You're spending a lot of quality time with them, and they're not exactly unhappy about it.
They're not. I got to tell you something. Yesterday, I had them all day, and we started out. I bought these little fossils, and they had to kind of find the fossils inside the rocks. So we sat here for a couple hours doing that. Then we went on a bike ride through Venice. Came back, I laid out some paper on the floor. We took out 3 canvases. We painted for 2 hours.
Wow.
I just spent more time with my sons in one day than my father spent with me in 4 days.
I know. That was different. That's what made us us. That's what made you you.
You're so right, man.
They're not going to want to leave now. They're going to want to live with you in that beautiful house in Venice. You've got a great bagel place out there, by the way. Yeasty Boys. Do you ever go to the Yeast? Do you even eat a bagel? No. Do you even do that?
I don't eat.
So I want to know what you eat for breakfast. That's the first thing that occurred to me.
I don't eat breakfast.
You don't?
Do you
work out then? Do you wake up and work out?
I wake up and I train empty. I don't eat till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Really?
Stop eating about 7:30 at night, and I'll start eating again about 2 in the afternoon.
What about coffee in the morning? Do you have coffee?
I have coffee. Sometimes I'll have a bullet coffee, which is butter and coffee and the whole thing. but I'm paleo, so I don't eat grains and rice and oats and stuff like that.
Wow. And you still can get into a hard workout without anything in your stomach.
Protein, fat, and really clean carbs.
But you're waking up. You're waking up hungry. Now, look, the lowest body fat I've ever been to is 11.5% body fat.
It's good.
And I was, at night, I was shivering like a little girl, even in the middle of summer, shivering.
I've been doing this for so long.
Yeah.
I was a wrestler from when I was 7 years old, so I was always cutting. I've had a bad relationship with food my entire life. So I like not to eat. I like, if I'm a little bit full, I feel sick.
Then how does it start? So you grew up in New York City, right?
Yeah.
You're kind of a dude, right? But how does the acting thing come along to a guy like you?
I was always interested in, and it's funny because, you know, watching guys like Sly and those dudes back in the day wanted to work in the movies, but I wanted to
be
in the movies. Now I'm friends with him.
Yeah.
Now I'm friends with Mel. I got a movie coming out with Mel in January. We're about to do another movie with Mel. I'm good friends with Sly. I've done a movie with Liam. I did a bunch of movies with Willis. I'm going to go do another movie with Willis. And it's all these guys who I kind of really dug. And
the tough guys club you're describing.
It was the regular guys.
Right.
Regular guys. And look,
what do you do with Mel Gibson? Do you ever see him socially?
All the time.
And what do you guys do? What do you get together and do?
You know, we'll just have dinner. You know, he's sober, so we'll just have dinner. We'll get the families together, or you know,
Does he bring out brownies? Do you have to say, look, 4% body fat here, Mel?
Mel likes to eat, man.
He does.
Mel likes to eat, but he also likes to train. But he eats. He likes to eat.
Does that get hard for you? I mean, are you just practiced at the hey? No, I don't need it.
About it, I just don't. You know, it bothers people. Like if I sit down to dinner with him,
yes, it does.
Partner, they get mad at me because they overeat and I don't eat, and so it's my fault. Somehow, I'm to blame.
But it's also, you know, here you are, a guy over 50 who's really now starting to get very famous. Now you've been acting your whole life, pretty much. But for some reason, like people are having the experience I had, which is we've been seeing this guy in Captain America all over the place, The Purge. But suddenly, now we know your name, and now we know who you are.
Yeah.
For me, that was Billions, but that's just because of I like the show.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But that's now sending me off to watch Kingdom.
Right.
Debuts today on Netflix, seasons 1 through 3. You got to watch it because we want, what would you call it, season 5 or season 4 on Netflix?
Yeah.
And it's great, and there are great characters in it, and it's wonderful to watch. And, you know, it's funny. I thought of Sylvester Stallone when I was watching your show, when I was watching the pilot of Kingdom, because I thought this has that same kind of energy. We like these characters. We're rooting for these characters. They're deeply flawed. They're all deeply flawed. And yet we want them to win. And you've got Nick Jonas in it. Now, here's another funny thing. You see, I don't really follow Nick Jonas, only that I might see him on TMZ or in some pop kind of magazine news website of some kind. But I remember seeing him getting all hulked up going, what the hell is he so buffed up for? Turns out it's for this.
Yeah, his first acting gig. And, you know, listen, I didn't want him at first. Mm-hmm. You know, I was the first one. Byron came to me and said, will you do this? And I said, well, make the script a little more authentic. And he did. He went and he trained with my guy down in New Mexico. The script came back and it was great, blah, blah, blah. And then they wanted Nick Jonas. I'm like, dude, we can't have Nick Jonas.
Right.
As an MMA fighter. We're done. We're dead in the water.
Right.
And to his credit, he came in and read with about 30 guys, 30 actors, and he was the best one.
He was great. He is great. When you see him in this part, you go, yeah, he looks just like one of these guys.
Right? And so really, you know, and I love him. He's a sweetheart, and he's a professional. And then during the show, he got really popular with his music and became a big superstar. You know? Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
So when you're training, you're boxing, you're doing all sorts of physical, you know, physicality, aren't you worried you're going to destroy your face? I mean, you got a tough guy face, but
look at my face. I've been, my nose has been busted. I mean, you know, it's
how many times has your nose been broken?
Three.
Three times.
Yeah.
And what? And, wow, look at that. And what do they do for that? Do you ever put any? Do you just let it be?
Nothing.
New headshots.
My hands are broken. Like, look at my hands; they're all busted.
Yeah, you love it. You like getting punched in the head?
I love getting hit.
Explain.
Well, not many people in the world, not many men, certainly not many men in California, know what it's like to be hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain way that men who understand battle carry themselves, and I could recognize them all day, every day. And they're the least violent guys that you'll ever meet in your life.
Right.
It's guys who have never been punched in the face that walk around, they puff themselves up, they lift weights, and they're the guys who cause all the trouble.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can size someone up like, do you get in bar fights much? Do people challenge you? You know,
when I was younger, I've been in a bunch of fights.
Were you the aggressor?
Never. Not one time.
Not one time. Yeah.
But I've always found myself in trouble. And I did this series called Fight World, also on Netflix. It's a docuseries. It's based on what Bourdain did. And instead of food culture,
right,
I embedded myself in fight culture. And
I know that show. That's a great idea.
The thing I learned, the through line about people who fight for a living, who really fight, is that they are all the most humble. All of them are the most humble, secure, compassionate, empathetic people that I've ever met in my life. They really are. Because they don't have a chip on their shoulder and they're not walking around afraid. Do you know? Very interesting. Yeah.
Wow. No, I found that to be the case too. Yeah. And I know what it's like to get hit in the head. I didn't grow up in California. I grew up south of Boston. So
you did?
Yeah. Well, not South Boston, but south of Boston.
So the movie I have on Netflix called Wheelman, it's me in a car. It's great.
I know it.
All Boston.
It's great. And I wanted to talk to you about that because I got the sense that you liked being a wheelman. Wheelman is, you know, you're a wheelman for bad guys. And then there's some other bad guy now that wants you as his wheelman. And
right,
he finds that you're set up by the other guys.
Right.
What cars are you driving in that? And are you a car guy?
I am a car guy. A BMW M3.
Right.
And then a Porsche 911.
Yes.
A 1981 Porsche 911.
And are you doing your own driving?
Yes.
You are.
All my own stunts, fights, and driving and stuff. So
an 81 911, you're wheeling around that city.
Yeah.
How did you? And
they were great. We were in South Boston. Then we were in the North End. We were on the North End where all the Italians are. And then we were in like Lawrence. We were in some not so great places.
To the places I'm from, yes.
Yeah. And we were tooling around for a month and all at night. My wife, who's soon to be my ex-wife, is from Fall River.
Hey, that's where I'm born. I was born there, yeah, at Union Hospital.
Are you? You're not Portuguese at all, are you?
I like linguiça. I like charisse. I was raised on their sausages, but I am not Portuguese. I'm Irish.
So good. Well, she's half Portuguese, half Irish. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow.
She went to Murphy High School there in Fall River.
You're kidding. That's where my dad went.
You're kidding me.
No, that's where he went after he was thrown out of his private high school. He went to Durfee. They said, we're done with you. We're sending you to Durfee.
That's right.
But yeah, my mom's from New Bedford.
New Bedford and Fall River, that whole area.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry you're divorcing her. She sounds like someone I'd like to know.
Yeah, she's great.
I'm not, but that's fantastic. Then you understand that's kind of the world I grew up in too. It's like you grow up in it, and I was a little guy. I think you're just slightly taller than I am, but better equipped.
I'm little, man. I'm 5'10". Little.
That's me, but you're a very, very different 5'10 than I am. I'm going to tell you that right.
5'10 is 5'10.
So, yeah, guys, you know, our guys are going to love you because the Wheelman by itself, fantastic film. All of the stuff is on my watching roster. We've got seasons 1 through 3 of Kingdom coming to Netflix today, guys, July 1st, 2020. You know, I was happy to make room for you after you were pitched because I liked the show so much. I thought this would be, it'd be great to meet you. And I'm, you know, again, like I said, I really think you're great on Billions. You know, I think you're doing a great job there. And so what else? What else do I need to know about you? What do you like for cars? What do you want?
Oh, you know, I have a downstairs in my garage. So I did this movie Boss Level with Mel that my company produced.
Right.
It's kind of like Die Hard meets Groundhog Day. But in the movie, I have a brand new a Dodge Hellcat. You know what a Hellcat is?
Yeah, of course.
We chopped the top off. And we made it a Roadster, and that's the hero car. And Dodge gave me one of the cars, and I did the same thing. I have downstairs in my garage a 750-horsepower Roadster. Let me see if I can pull up a picture really
quick. Is it on your Instagram?
I don't know if it's on my Instagram. I should have a photo close by.
Put it on your Instagram by the time.
I'll put it on my Instagram.
I want to see what that looks like.
But I've had many cars in my life, but this is probably. Can you even see that?
Oh, I can. Yeah. Wow, that looks fantastic.
Yeah. So it's all murdered out. It's all
matte. And you've got the roll. You've got the roll bar in it.
The whole roll cage in the whole thing.
That's good. Some people don't do that. I won't say names, Kevin Hart. But
I know.
Yeah, that's important to have because if that really looks beautiful.
It's gorgeous. People stop. I've been pulled over by like 6 cops who don't want that. No, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I just want to know what the car is.
Who did the work on it?
With the guys who did the movie in Atlanta, we left it with them, and he did it. Yeah.
Wow.
And then I brought it back, and I had it repainted here in California, and it's got like this Mercedes matte black, this 2020 Mercedes matte black. It's a beautiful car.
Yeah.
It's scary fast.
I know. They're beautiful, but the controllable fun you can have in them.
Absolutely.
Where do you drive?
I go up to PCH, and I'll go out to Joshua Tree and, like, just
cruising
out there and stuff like that.
Yeah,
do you have cars?
Yeah, lots of cars. We do a big Cars and Coffee in Malibu every Sunday.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. We do this Malibu run to the Malibu Kitchen every weekend, twice a weekend to have coffee and talk. And now with quarantine, there's, like, a Sunday kind of temporary Cars and Coffee. Not 8 to 10 a.m. in the Malibu Country Mart every Sunday in front of the Malibu Kitchen.
You're up there every weekend.
Yeah, yeah. That's my goal. Well, we'll talk after this, and we'll take a ride because there's nothing else we can do.
Great. Right now. Do you live in Malibu?
I live in Brentwood.
Oh, that's okay. So I was in the Palisades. Well, now my wife is in the Palisades.
Yes. Well, good. Look at that.
I mean, I built a dream house. And so now I'm in Venice. So you're my neighbor, man.
Fantastic. Well, again, Frank, congratulations. It's been a pleasure getting to know you in the last 48 hours. I can see that you're a huge talent and you're about to become the next Bruce Willis, the next Sylvester Stallone, the next Mel Gibson. It's obvious to me. I mean, because you're a bona fide movie star.
You're
playing the fun bad guys and everything else. And you can tell you got a good heart. And, you know, like I said, didn't know you watched on Billions. And I went, well, there you go. That guy. No. Who is that guy?
It's amazing. At this age that people are still going, who's that guy? I love it. And that's the greatest.
It's a great arc to be working your whole life. And, you know, as you crest past 50 to be suddenly popping, that's a dream, right? Yeah. That's usually when careers are slowing down.
You know. So, God bless.
There you go. Well, listeners, seasons 1 through 3 of Kingdom are on Netflix right now. You got to check them out. I'm highly recommending. Frank, we'll see you in Malibu for coffee.
Thank you soon. All right, my brother. Thank you so much.
Okay, congratulations. Bye.
All right, there it is, Frank Grillo.
What a guy.
What are your plans for the 4th, Zuckerman? What are you doing?
Well, nothing. Nothing. I'm actually going to go down. I'm going to split. I'm going to go down to the house down in Mexico. It's very quiet there. It's very isolated. Be with the family. Hang out. and just stay safe.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm going to be here too. Should I go down and buy the fireworks and throw them off in the backyard?
What you should do is you should go up to the house in Baldwin Hills, because you'll have a vista of the city of all the legal and, even better, the illegal fireworks
display. Well, you'll have
display.
To tell your houseboy to let us in. That could be a lot of fun. Maybe I will do that. We need something to do. Anyway, I wish you all a happy and safe 4th of July. Next week, it's our freewheeling fun. We had a really fun kind of cars and coffee with Johnny Lieberman of Motor Trend. You're going to love it. I don't even remember if we talked about cars, but we
talked
left.
About pads.
We talked about we talked about how to get our female demographic up, and Zuckerman was especially unhelpful in that regard. We will see you then next week for Spike's Car Radio.
Excellent.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.